Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And today I'm excited because I'm sharing today with a new friend.
Yes.
Daniel Alonzo. Thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
Daniel has spent, and I love your story. So I'm going to want you to share it because it's just really unique. But he has established his reputation, and he is the not just an expert, but the authority when we talk about playing big in the financial services industry and really becoming a wealth management and mentor to thousands of people. And so thousands of people have improved their financial lives as a result of this young man. And he really is. He's like, I always look to see for those superstars or that next generation. And Daniel, you are one of them.
Well, I appreciate that. This is a true honor. I can't even tell you. I mean, obviously I've been read all your books, and I've been a huge fan for so many years. You just have no idea. And so the level of respect and admiration that I have for you is immense. And just excited about the future. I mean, I want to play big. I mean, you talk about playing big. I mean,
I think you have been playing big, but we can certainly look at how we can play big together.
I want to play bigger, man. Bigger and exactly. Together. You better
exactly.
Believe it. Better believe it.
So tell the story, because I love it. You're married to your high school sweetheart. So just give us the Daniel story.
Well, look, I started at 21 years old in business. I had a buddy of mine that in high school, he was my buddy all through high school. And then when I got out of high school and we started trying to get our lives going at 21, he started talking to me about going into financial services. And if you would have known this guy, you wouldn't have believed him either. Okay. I did not believe him. I did not believe a word he said. And for some reason, I went to this little meeting and this guy was talking about how I could have more freedom and choices and options. I mean, it sounded like one of those infomercials mm-hmm. at, 2 o'clock in the morning, but there was something inside of me that I said, that guy puts on his pants just like I put on my pants.
My dad used to tell me that all the time.
Yeah. I felt like, wait a minute. Well, why, I want a great life. I want great things too. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to try. And so I went into business at 21 years old. I never looked back. I mean, I never thought quit, never looked back. We started teaching people about money. We started teaching people about paying yourself first. We started teaching people about how to become financially independent versus just make money. Mm-hmm. We were talking about, the people that buy the Ferraris before they should be buying the Ferraris. That's a recipe for disaster.
Well, and that's one of the things that it was like I went, oh, yes, when I was reading your about page before this podcast, because it's so many people in, I call it the sudden wealth syndrome, or, they either, whether it's network marketing or even in business, they get the bigger salary and they spend it all, so they go deeper in debt. They don't use the wisdom of understanding what they're trying to teach other people to establish their own financial balance. And in your information that I read, you said you were making $300,000 a year, but you're still driving older cars because you wanted to establish that foundation of financial strength for your family.
$10,000 Maxima. That's what it was. And it was like purple. It was a purple Maxima. And I remember people telling me, I was making $300,000 and they were just like, why don't you buy a bigger house? Why don't you drive a nicer car? And I always remember, it's like the when you fly in the airplanes, they always tell you, put on your oxygen mask mm-hmm. first, then assist other people. And for me, I just felt like me saving $1 million in cash, before I was 30 years old was I got up every day and that's all I thought about is I'm going to get my family safe first. Once I get them safe, man, I'm going to play big. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to, you know, I can do whatever I want. I'd travel the world and have a great time, buy all the nice cars and all the nice houses I want to. But I had to get my family on our own island. That's where people make the mistake is you're spending time trying to impress. You're spending money and time trying to impress people that really 10 years from now, they won't even be in your life. They don't even care about you. They have no.
That's right. That fear of criticism that we talk about in Outwitting the Devil is we want to keep up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. And they are. They're not necessarily in your life next year or 10 people come into your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime. And your family is your lifetime. And you want to make sure you're prepared. And that's such an important message. You know, people, we go back to Rich Dad, Poor Dad that you've talked about. Is, you know, we talk about your house is not an asset. You want to have the assets generating income that can pay for the house you want. Get those assets going first. Same thing for your car. Mm-hmm. And just time and time again, people get the Ferraris or they get the Mercedes before they can really afford it. And so they're handcuffing themselves with debt. Mm-hmm. That will keep them from being able to be financially secure.
It's like the bondage that holds them. And then what happens is you go and you buy the Mercedes and then it gets a dent. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh my God, every day you look at that dent and all that debt, that dent reminds you is of the debt.
Yes.
And it reminds you of the payment.
And how much less valuable the car is today than it was yesterday.
Yeah. And then you're like, you're depressed because you're worried about that. So I don't know, for some reason, I figured it out early on that if I invest my money properly, if I pay myself first, that was a big, big deal to me. I wanted to pay myself first. And this is a funny little story that I don't know how many people do this, but I was so obsessed with becoming financially independent that I would use a credit card everywhere I'd go because I believe I like using credit cards to the extent that it allows me to track my expenses better, right. Which allows me.
I love my credit card.
Exactly. Yeah. it allows me to track my expenses so I have bigger write-offs at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. It just allows me to stay more financially organized. And I used to go out at night and I don't do this anymore, but I would buy a meal. And I would deduct the amount of the meal out of my check register on my Quicken account. So at the end of the month, and I'm here to tell you that I'm 44 years old and I've never paid a credit card finance charge in my life because I've paid my credit card off at the end of the month, every single month. But I did that. So I deduct it every month. And so that way every debit that I would have on that credit card, I would deduct it out. So at the end of the month, the money was in the account. And I lived like I was broke, really. I would try to, and then I would try to pay my bills off as quickly as I could. I've never paid late charges. Mm-hmm. I've always been organized to make sure that if I owe people some money, I pay them back right away. You know, like every little thing, I always try to stay a little bit extra.
Wouldn't the world be a better place if everybody operated that way?
Hallelujah.
The banks wouldn't be happy with you. You know, hallelujah. I don't pay interest either. I always mm-hmm. pay, but I use my credit cards again because I have multiple companies.
Of course.
So I have a card. It just makes accounting a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And my bookkeeper who actually is here today is a lot happier with me, except when I use the wrong company card.
But, there you go.
You know, and paying it off each month, the banks call you deadbeat because they make their money from your late payments and from your interest. And I used to be able to say I've never paid any interest, but I did get one card that charged from the moment you made the charge till you paid it. So I paid 11 cents in interest. I used to be able to say it from stage, but now the story is too long because I can't really say that. But you pay it off every month because it just puts you in a deeper hole when you've got those kind of interest things going on. So one of the other things that's come up a lot in the last week from interviews I've had, and we just had this conversation before we started this, was the importance of strong relationships. And I was sharing with Daniel that my in-laws have been married for 71 years, and my parents would have been too if they were still living. And Mike and I are 39 years, and his siblings also long-term marriages. But also working together
you know, it brings its own set of challenges, but it's also its own set of rewards. And reading your the information about you, you and your wife have been married for a long time, been together a long time, and have been working together. So share a little bit about that.
Well, what's interesting is when I was 21, she was 21 as well, and I started in business, it was the biggest struggle of my life with her in our relationship. We had been together at that time like 5 years, and we battled because she thought the business was taking me away. And of course, we were two immature kids. I mean, you know, she was.
And when you started, it takes a lot of time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was just all in, just trying. And I had this vision of one day getting my family financially free. And so, although she didn't have that same vision, she didn't understand that vision. And I remember in my mom's driveway, because she was actually living at that time with, we were all living under the same roof. Mm-hmm. And we were in my car, at my Sentra, my maroon Sentra, and we had the biggest battle of our life. I mean, and it was, I looked over and I said, you're either with me or against me. So the door is right there. If you're not coming on this ride with me, then we're going to have to end it now. We've been together 5 years, and this is a big risk for me because I didn't want to lose her. But it was a big risk for me because I knew that if she didn't support me in what I was doing, doesn't mean I didn't make her go make sales. I didn't go make her recruit anybody. I didn't go make her do anything like that. But I said, if you don't feel as excited as I am about our future and where I'm going, then we need to end this right now. And so it was, I gave her that ultimatum, like you're either in or you're out. And
but you also gave her a choice.
I gave her a choice.
You valued her choice.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Oh, I did. I totally valued her choice. And because I wanted to be fair to her, because I loved her enough that, look, if this is not the path that you want, I mean, we weren't married at the time. If this is not the path that you don't want to go to, then we need to end it now. So that way I'm respecting you in what you want your life to look like. But I know what my life looks like, and I know the direction I want to go. And I think you should come with me. And I hope you choose to come with me, but I can't battle you all the time. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges for so many people is that they have a vision for the future and the other person doesn't want to jump on that vision. And it's just a life of fighting, you know, versus saying, hey, look, I mean, and again, it gets a little more complicated once you get married and all that stuff. But I just believe that there's gotta, in everything so far in my life, I've drawn the line in the sand. You know, in business, a lot of people made fun of me early on. A lot of my friends, a lot of family members, they laughed at me. They told me that I should stay in college, or they told me I wasn't smart enough and you shouldn't, you know, and because I wasn't the best student.
How many of you had that happen? You know, so many times you hear that story. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. And the problem is sometimes we start believing it.
That's it. Yeah. And for some reason, there was something inside of me that just felt like, I'm going to draw the line. And I mean, my best friend growing up, I mean, we were very, very good friends, and he made fun of me. And I told him, I drew the line in the sand. I said, look, you don't have to join me in business. I don't care about that. I said, but if you can't be a friend to me and support me and say nice things about me, we got a problem.
I bet he's sorry he didn't join you.
He's sorry he didn't join me. Oh, there's no doubt about it. He's sorry. I mean, but that relationship ended at 21. And although I was sorry that the relationship ended, the fact of the matter is I have thousands and thousands of more relationships today because I drew the line in the sand. And the same thing happened. Karma jumped on board. We worked together as a partnership. We helped each other. She ran all the administrative. She wrote all the thank you notes. I like to tell people that, you know, because I'm a tough coach, you know, I'll let our team know what they got to do. And she was the one that would hug them after I beat them up a little bit. You know what I mean? So a lot
sugar and spice.
Sugar and spice. So we worked this thing good together. And so thank God we figured it out early on. And I think I'm way more successful today because of that.
And two teenagers?
Two teenagers. I got a 13-year-old Ava and a 17-year-old Max. And Ava's a little soccer player. Max does actually a lot of my social media, and he helps me with a lot of my videos. I'm very proud of him, and he's learning every day. I basically pay him to learn stuff every day. They're both reading Outwitting the Devil, by the way. Oh, so I wonderful. Really highly recommend that you get that book for your children, because and it's funny because I remember where I was, because I actually enjoy the audio book. I don't know, so, you know, I
made them, I required them to get two actors. I
said, yes.
There's got to be, the devil's voice has got yes, to be yes. grovelly.
It's got to be. And I'm telling you, I remember I was, my sister got married in Hawaii, and I remember every morning, because we were there for about a week, and every morning I was listening to that as I'm looking out at the water. Mm-hmm. So it's like ingrained. That book is ingrained. It gives me the chills even thinking about it. That book is so, I know where I was when the first time I listened to it. And it's just powerful beyond measure. And so for you to have your children, even though it's a little chilling, you know, you have your children read that, because if they can understand all the things, all the reasons why the devil's trying to stop you from being successful, mm-hmm. they can be aware of that, and they can go, hey, I know what's going on right now.
The power of choice.
The power of choice. And I know why this is happening to me in my life, and I can choose to make an alternate decision if I want to, because I know what the devil's doing right now. So it's powerful.
And that's the beauty of entrepreneurship, beauty of the business you're in, any, you know, network marketing or entrepreneurship as a whole. When you can involve your children, you give them the opportunity to see and understand the power of entrepreneurship, the power of building assets. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not something they're learning in school, mm-hmm. still trying to change that, but mm-hmm. it's so important, because when they can see that, then they understand the investment. Because you know, in starting a business, whether it be within an existing system, a franchise, network marketing, or whether you're literally starting on your own, it takes dedication mm-hmm. and 24/7 commitment. And so if your spouse isn't on board or your children aren't on board, you're going to have a lot of emotional drama. Mm-hmm. But if you can make it kind of a commitment of the family and understand that a lot of people think they go into business, and whether it be network marketing or franchising, thinking they're going to be an overnight success. It takes time.
A lot of right? dedication, a lot of dedication. I tell people that you're going to have to invest the next 3 to 5 years with massive amounts of sacrifice. I mean, I wasn't there at every birthday party. I wasn't there at every, even to go this far. I mean, we made such a commitment to be successful that, you know, if our anniversary was on a Tuesday night, but I was at my training on Tuesday night, we would say, let's just go to dinner on Wednesday night. Right. Like, what's the big deal, right? It's just a day. I mean, it's just a number of a day on a calendar. I mean,
that's right.
Big deal, you know? But those are the little things that most people aren't willing to do. And so I always knew that if I was willing to do the things that other people were not willing to do, like I'd look around my office and I would see all the people that were not winning and not successful. And I would say, why are they not successful? It's because they show up late. They don't do what they say they're going to do. They're not focused. They are not willing to sacrifice. They go on too many vacations right now. And I said, I'm going to do the opposite mm-hmm. of what all these jokers are going to do. And it's just crazy how it works so well.
Shorter term investment, mm-hmm. meaning 3 to 5 years mm-hmm. for long term rewards.
Oh my God. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, 28 years old, I was financially independent. I had almost $500,000 in passive residual income, and we had $1 million.
Buying the big house.
I delayed
because you wanted to build that foundation. Mm-hmm. And that's such a message, particularly in today's society, because we want to get the bigger house, we want to get the fancy car, and we're driven by competition with our peers, that fear of criticism, and yet, you know, we teach it in Rich Dad Poor Dad. Buy the assets that generate the income to live the lifestyle you want.
That's it.
If you're exchanging your time for money, you keep taking a step back instead of take a step forward when you invest, when you spend your money on things like that.
That's right? it. And in the build and in the business that I was able to be fortunate enough to build, is that I looked at every location, I looked at every new recruit as another asset. Now, I didn't treat people like an asset. I didn't treat people like I own them or anything, right. But I But I knew that every time I would recruit someone and then train them and develop them and teach them how to know the things that I knew.
It's leverage.
It was leverage.
The ability to serve more people.
Oh my gosh. I mean, and that's so, like some people, they go, hey, look, I want a lot of apartment buildings, which is great. I mean, that's wonderful. You're buying lots of doors, right? And that's wonderful. And that can definitely afford you some great passive income in the future. But for me, it was like my investment was in people. My investment was taking them to dinner. I didn't have to get a big loan, you know what I mean, from the bank to buy that asset. Mm-hmm. All I had to do was meet them and take them to dinner a couple of times and train them and mentor them and get to know them a little bit. And next thing you know, I had a few hundred agents. And I'm going, wow, this is pretty cool. I'm making money whether I'm working or not. I have income coming in.
The magical sentence, making money whether you're working or not, because you've invested the time, energy, the commitment mm-hmm. to create a system.
That's it.
And to fill that system with people who are aligned with what you're doing and want to support the same thing. And therefore you build something that's got long. It's an engine. You built an engine.
Well, it was, I think the most critical thing that I did was I duplicated everything. So when I opened up my first office, pretty much the same, the first thing I did was I put everything on audio cassette tape. So I went in a room and I put everything on tape.
Intellectual property.
Intellectual property, there you go. And I made a book. I had a manual, 171-page manual. It's called The Process, okay? Daniel Alonzo Process. And I put, and then eventually I, you know, had DVDs and CDs and all the now websites and YouTube channel and all these different things. And so I was able to now teach people. So when I'm in Thailand or I'm in Brazil or I'm in traveling to, on a safari, people are actually watching me and learning how I built what I built. I'm free. I'm free. Since 28 years old, I've been free to do whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it. And that is the power and why I respect you so much, because you've built so many businesses and have so much passive intellectual, you know, assets and passive income, intellectual property and all these systems and tools. You make money whether you're working or not. And that is what I believe America needs to start figuring out, because people have the ability to do it. They're just not aligning themselves with the right mentors.
They weren't trained that way. Trained that way. We don't teach it in school.
We don't.
And I say my favorite word on earth is assets.
That's it.
Yes. It's the sexiest word on earth. But it's making that commitment, finding the resources and staying at it. And you could have retired at 28.
Of course.
You
know,
and yet you still continue doing it because now it's a choice because you're serving more people.
That's
right?
It. That's
obviously, your income is expanding as a result of it, but you're still doing it because you want to, not because you have to. Wouldn't everybody watching and listening, wouldn't life be so much better if you could do what you want to instead of what you have to, right?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
And that's the choice each and every one of you has to make. I talk about being the CEO of your own life. You know, the system you choose to do it should be something that you care about, you're invested in, your passion, but then understanding that it is a commitment. Mm-hmm. And too many of us today want things fast and easy. And doing that means we spend it too fast and easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so success is an investment of time.
Right.
You say you either spend your time or invest your time. And you invested your time for your family.
Well, I think that's the challenge with a lot of businesses that are quote unquote get rich quick. You know, I think it's just all BS, you know, and I don't know, maybe I could have recruited more people. Maybe I could have built more offices if I would have had a get rich quick kind of message, but I never did. I was always very transparent. I mean, I would speak in front of thousands of people and say, look, it's not easy. It takes work. It takes dedication. But I think in the long run, if you do what's right, in the end, you win. I think no matter what, even though there might be other people that make more money than me, in the end, I will win because I did what was right.
Well, you could go to sleep peacefully at night.
Of course, of course.
Because you made the right choices. You lived in integrity. And so I'm going to leave you guys with that today. If you're not part of the Play Big movement, we're going to, in this recording, Daniel's going to stay with me. We're going to do a short second recording for the private Facebook group, the Play Big movement. So hang out there. And if you're not a member, please go ahead and join. Thank you so much, Daniel. And I appreciate this. And if people want to find you, Daniel, how can they find you?
All over the place. At Daniel Alonzo, Instagram, Facebook. Make sure you follow my business Facebook page, a couple pages. And of course, I have a great YouTube channel. And just so you know, Sharon, I do have a Wealth on the Beach Club. And every week, it's 1 hour with me, Q&A and all that good
Wealth
stuff.
Wealth on the Beach.
Wealth
what
on the Beach Club.
That gives us.
Yes. And it doesn't matter. Even if you don't like the beach, we still let you come on board. But click on my bio on my Instagram for more information. AlonzoAcademy.com is where you can get lots and lots of information. And check out my podcast. We have a podcast. It's called Wealth on the Beach Podcast. And I think I've done, 38 or 39 lessons now, and we've helped a lot of people grow their thinking and grow their mind into understanding that passive income, residual income, is the way to live a life of freedom, choices, and options.
Yeah, financial freedom is when your income from assets, your passive income, exceeds your monthly expenses. The number isn't important, mm-hmm. It's your expenses, your income, and when assets feed you enough to cover your monthly expenses, you're no longer exchanging your time for money. You're building assets. So that definitely is number one, assets that generate passive income. So thank you all. Have a fantastic day and join us in the Play Big Movement.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.